Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, October 13th. I'm Ray Graff. We have a good show in store for you today. Joining us once again for his monthly visit is Gordon Fricke, owner and operator of Barber and Fricke in Hoosick Falls, New York. That's an independent repair, auto body towing, and used car facility. The man knows his vehicles, and he knows car trouble. We call him the car whisperer sometimes on this program. Your calls are welcome for Gordon Fricke, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. If you want to diagnose that rattle you're hearing, maybe a ping, anything like that, you can email as well, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Gordon Fricke is here. Your calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We are talking automotive maintenance and repair this afternoon with none other than Gordon Fricke, owner and operator of Barber and Fricke Automotive, an independent repair, auto body towing, and used car facility in Hoosick Falls, New York. Gordon has been in the automotive repair and service industry for over 30 years, beginning at Factory Mechanics Training School in Wolfsburg, Germany, back in 79. Prior to starting his own business in Hoosick Falls, Gordon worked as an automotive tech, service advisor, and assistant service manager at the Annis Corporation, a Volkswagen, Porsche, and Audi dealership based in Natick, Massachusetts. Gordon Fricke, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. I'll try to keep an eye on the emails that come into the show. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. All right, you look a little tired today. What happened?
You mean all the yawning?
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, you know, I woke up a little earlier than usual this morning to a phone call from the state police on for a car accident at about, I don't know, 20 after 3.
Ouch.
And a car veered off the right side of the road very slowly and took down probably, I don't know, 500-600 feet of guardrails.
Wow.
And it rolled over. It was on its side. It was on a bank. And the fire department actually tied it to the what was left of the guardrail post just in case it wanted to roll further.
Oh, man.
But so I was, it took me, I didn't get home till about 5:15 in the morning. So
that's that is a wake-up call.
Yeah, yeah. Fortunately, it wasn't terribly cold. It wasn't raining, so could have been worse. And I don't believe she was injured, the driver of the car.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, I guess every now and then you got to have those house calls.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
Well, you're here, and we'll try to keep you awake with the phone calls today. And the number to call is 800-348-2551. Let's kick it right off and go to Debbie in Schenectady. Debbie, you're on with Gordon Fricke.
Hello there. I have an unusual question for you.
Okay.
I have a 2009 Chevy HHR that was involved in an accident last year. Some guy went to T-bone me, and instead of T-boning me, he tried to go around me and clip the whole front end of my car. So by the time I got done with getting the body work done and going through the whole legal process and getting the claim paid for, I realized that I still had mechanical problems. Actually, let me back up for a second. When I got hit, when I notified my insurance company that I had body damage, I told them that while the car was still drivable, it was idling really rough and that the brakes were now squealing, and I saw that the impact somehow had whacked out my brakes. Okay, so 6 months later, so 5-6 months later, I get the body work done, get the car back. It still has problems. I call my mechanic, who I've been friends with for 15 years, go in there all the time, and he said, listen, I can't do anything for you. He goes, I don't know that your car was fine before you got hit. I said, you just put fresh brakes on my car 2 months ago and drove it. He didn't want to get involved. So out of frustration, I just let it go. It's now months later. My car is, the brakes are horrible. The car is shuddering. The check engine light's now coming on because one of the cylinders isn't firing all the time. Can I do anything now a year later?
Very unlikely. And that's a touchy area when you get in a collision. And sometimes the collision, if it gets into things around the engine, you can have related problems. You can have a check engine light come on, for example. Let's say it got hit hard enough where it ruptured some of the ductwork that feeds the engine air. Maybe it damaged a sensor. Unfortunately, the insurance company would probably allow a reasonable amount of time after the crash to iron out some things like that. But I think too much time has passed, unfortunately.
Just for the listeners, what do you do if you say, hey, I got mechanical damage, and your mechanic is like, I don't want to get involved in any insurance thing? I mean, how do you prove that, hey, before I got hit, it was fine, and now it's not?
Well,
what do you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. It depends on how hard the car was hit. And the insurance adjuster is kind of the liaison between you and the insurance company. I mean, he works for the insurance company, but he's the buffer between you and the insurance company to iron the claim out, resolve the costs, and the amount of damage and the repairs that the car is going to receive. Let's say this was a month later. You would be contacting that adjuster who did the claim to begin with and go over it with him. He'd say, okay, we need to get it to a shop to confirm it, and then we'll take it from there. And if your mechanic does not want to get involved, the insurance company will recommend or find somebody in most cases. So, I mean, that would be my advice.
They didn't. That's what I thought too, and they didn't. Huh?
Where was the car repaired? Was it at a?
Don't say the name of the company.
I guess I shouldn't have asked.
No, it was repaired at a body shop that the insurance was compatible with, so that was fine. So then when I got back to them and I said, listen, you found me a body shop that was great, but now I need to find a mechanic. They said, we don't find people mechanics.
How long after the accident did you ask about the mechanic?
This was right when I got the car back, which is about 6 months after the accident, because it went through arbitration and everything.
Wow.
Nice. So it was about 6 months now after the accident, I tried to get the mechanical stuff fixed.
Well, you know,
I haven't even had, you know, the car, they haven't even looked at it under the hood for mechanical issue.
A lot of big body damage claims involve mechanical components. So they work hand in hand. And if the auto body shop does not have techs to do the mechanical work, they will send it somewhere. So I think maybe at the very least, get in contact with your insurance company. Even though this much time has passed, state your concerns, see how they help you.
It's worth a call.
It is, absolutely.
Right. All right, Debbie, good luck.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks. This one came in via email, Gordon, from Kevin and Sandy. Here is a thorny issue. Subject heading, buy the Mercedes. My wife and I are very close to retiring. She has a used CRV that is about 3 or 4 years old. Should we spring for a new Mercedes SUV? Last car we'll ever buy? That's from Kevin and Sandy. It's a lot of responsibility on you, Fricky.
It is. Now, who do you think's rallying for the Mercedes-Benz here?
I got to think it's Kevin.
I think it is, too.
Yeah.
Should we just make it short and sweet and say, what the heck, buy the car?
unless you don't want to buy the car.
Yeah.
And then don't buy the car.
This is what I would do. I would sample, go to the dealership and experience that particular vehicle.
Yeah.
Get it out of the dealer. Don't let them pressure you. Don't sign anything. And see if it's a vehicle you really want. And make the decision at that point.
Okay, so the last car, they said it'll be the last car they ever buy. I've never had a Mercedes. I often hear horror stories about some of the German cars, and the parts can be very expensive.
Yeah.
Is this now an old wives' tale?
Well, here's the way it works, basically. No matter what brand of car it is, the higher end the car is, the more expensive it can be to own as it ages.
Yeah.
You get off the warranty, things start to go wrong, and you can't always take that vehicle to your local shop because he may not have the technology, the software, special tools, knowledge, and all that to keep that car going. So you get pressed into bringing it back to the dealer. So if it's a high-end car, it could cost you high-end money down the road. So there is absolute truth to that, yes.
However, I often see older German cars on the road, so they must be made fairly well.
They are. They're built quite well. But, you know, the whole industry has improved greatly. You know, all car makes are lasting longer and breaking down less.
Except mine. But that's another story. All right, let's go back to the phones. Gordon Fricke is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to B in Saugerties. B, you're on.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. I don't know if you can help me. I'm stuck between an old car and a do-it-yourself make. And I'm having trouble passing inspection. So I'm thinking, you know, I've got a couple thousand dollars. My car's got 285,000 miles on it. And can you hear me?
We're listening very carefully.
Okay, so I'm really wary of these used Subarus. So I thought, you know, I've always relied on these Honda Civics and CRX, and I know those cars really well. Right now I've got the Toyota RAV4, which has been a great car, but she's just falling apart.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, you know, rather than, you know, buying a new truck and borrowing money, if I get a nice front-wheel drive Honda, the only thing that could go wrong would be like a clutch or a timing belt. Then, you know, if I can find one for like $1,200 that's in good shape, you know, 150,000 miles, then I could just spend the money on the body work. Because I see a lot of these cars and they're just all look like crap.
Yeah, nicely
said.
And
I'm wondering if that's a better, like, way of spending money, like just to get the real, you know, the good car and then spend, you know, another $1,500 on the auto body. But I don't know how much auto body costs, and I'd really have to make the case for that.
Well, this is a subjective question.
I always recommend getting the newest, youngest, lowest mileage car that you can afford, and that varies greatly with the individual. Yes, if you don't need an all-wheel drive, you don't need a sport utility, you don't need an automatic transmission, you can get a lower-equipped Honda Civic, Honda Accord, Toyota Corolla, that type thing, and spend way less money. I wouldn't go super old and super high mileage because all cars are going to wear and need things sooner or later.
Yep.
So I would, you know, set your sights on the more basic car if you don't need all the goodies, but try to get it as young and low mileage as you can afford because it's going to hold up better for you in the long run.
And it also depends, of course, on what she's going to do with it.
Exactly, yeah. But I wouldn't get something that's horrible that needs paint and body and is rusty because that's a never-ending battle.
Well, I mean, maybe she should buy a Mercedes SUV.
Talk to the emailer earlier go to the dealer together.
Kevin and Sandy, a little timeshare. It's Vox Pop. Gordon Fricke is our guest, 800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York. Offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. Grapesandgrainswine.com. Stavros, Springfield, and Amherst, Massachusetts. Assisting people with disabilities to register and vote. More information on voter registration and services for people with disabilities in Massachusetts at stavros.org. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York. Working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com. And the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, now accepting submissions for the annual Pine Bush Juried Photo Exhibit, featuring images taken in the preserve from your perspective. AlbanyPineBush.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, Gordon Fricke, our guest today, and Gordon is the expert on automotive maintenance and repair. And before we get back to the phones at 800-348-2551, Gordon, let's take care of a couple more email questions. This one is from M in Great Barrington, who says, "Hi, I have a 2012 Honda CR-V. It had one owner previously and was in Florida, so it never saw a winter. I've had it for a year and a half. Recently, the truck stopped opening, like the trunk stopped opening, like it is permanently locked. Along with this, the driver's side door occasionally will not unlock when I use the key fob. All the other doors, aside from the trunk, are fine. What could be affecting both of these?" And that's from M in Great Barrington.
Yeah. Well, if he's asking to unlock and lock with the fob, and they're making all the noises, but they're not physically unlatching or opening,
yeah,
I would get out a good trusty bottle of WD-40 or some kind of a spray penetrant and soak up the latches of all the doors where they shut, and that will free up all the mechanisms. Now, if you can't get any of these open, you're in trouble. What kind of a car was it? Right, was it a CRV?
It was a CRV, a Honda CRV.
Yeah, a lot of those vehicles, the tailgate can be opened from the inside with a, like an emergency release. So
yeah,
pull that open, get the door open, and spray all the moving parts to the latches with that type of a penetrating oil. Let it soak in, maybe give it another dose a couple hours later the next day, and then work the doors, open and shut them, you know, 10, 15, 20 times. And that may free it up.
Now, if it's an electronic issue,
then you're stuck getting it diagnosed and checked out. It could
okay.
be an actuator, could be a wiring issue. So then you got more things ahead
of you. All right, fair enough. This one came in from Brian, who says, as usual, great show.
Well, great.
You go. Way to go. Compliment the show.
Right off the bat.
You get right in. I have a 2005 Toyota Matrix that has a check engine light on. The diagnosis is a small evaporative leak. Can you tell me what the process is for finding the leak? And that's from Brian.
Yeah, that's the worst one. It's the most time-consuming and the hardest to pinpoint. We always start at the gas cap and the seal that the gas cap makes on the filler neck. You know,
yeah,
when you take the cap off to put gas in it. The slightest bit of corrosion on that filler neck where the gas cap screws down will make a tiny, tiny leak, and the computer will pick it up. And we clean those up a lot with like a scouring pattern, Scotch-Brite. Well, you can have a Scotch after you finish the job.
You had me there.
Clean that up nicely. Maybe put a little of synthetic grease around where the seal of the cap goes to, and try that.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it's nasty diagnostic work, smoke machines, the whole deal. It's awful.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke is our guest. Tim in Ballston Spa. Tim, you're on.
Yes, I just had another automotive mishap story. Coming up the Taconic State Parkway from returning from racetrack down there.
Good for you. Hey.
Came around a bend and saw a Volkswagen Beetle on its roof with the front tire spinning. So I immediately pulled over. This was over in the other lane, the other side of the road. And so I pulled over and went down there, and people were piling out of it. I think they had four or five passengers in there. And, everybody seemed to be all right. And it was, I said, let's roll this thing over.
Yeah.
So we all got together and just shoved it over, and it wound up on all four wheels, and I looked it over. It had an oil bath air cleaner, so it didn't want to start right away, but I said, crank it, and I just held the throttle open, and after a while, smoke billowed out, and everything came to life, and everybody piled back in, and I said, might as well get out of here before the cops come.
Oh, nice.
So
and that was it? Everything worked out okay? Everybody survived?
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's great.
Absolutely.
Now, you're talking an original Beetle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, this was probably back in about 74.
Oh, I thought this was a recent occurrence. Okay,
no.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, good for you.
You'd never do that with that.
And that's what I'm thinking today. That'd be a quite a caper to pull off.
Well, you did well, Tim. Thanks for that.
Thanks.
Have a good day. 800-348-2551 is the number. Gordon Fricke is our guest. Robert in Deerfield, Massachusetts. Robert, you're on.
No, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you.
I am a 70-year-old father with two teenage boys, one 14 and one 17, who I have raised myself for the past 12 years.
Okay.
I own a 2004 Toyota RAV4. And needless to say, I have driven my children everywhere. The youngest one was in a seat belt in the back seat when he was a little guy, and now they're 14 and 17.
Okay.
My car, 2004, has 422,000 miles.
Wow.
That is phenomenal.
I am very proud of the way I've taken care of my car. In fact, my kids recently detailed the car for me, and damn it, it looks brand new.
Okay. And thank you for cursing. We appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Fine.
My question is this. But sometimes I feel like I'm a car disaster. I'm a car breakdown away from a disaster. Financially, I'm just hanging on.
Yeah, I hear you.
And my boys tell me, Dad, you got to put money away. You got to save for a car. But I can't. It's very difficult.
Yep.
So my question is, what can I expect? No one can expect that. How much more, can I expect this car to go?
400K is a lot of miles, man.
That's absolutely astonishing.
422. I'm sitting in right now.
I would be fearful that the transmission this is an automatic, right?
It's standard shift.
Oh, it is standard. Okay, well, that's why that has survived. Okay, because an automatic in a car, I don't think would ever last that long.
How many clutches have you through, Robert?
I've been through the original and two more.
Yeah, that's really good. In that case, the transmission fear is kind of out of the way. My advice to anybody with an older car with super high mileage is to absolutely stay on top of the maintenance. Don't say because it's this old, what's the point?
Right.
And that's what's kept this car alive for so long. I think you've probably taken very good care of it. So stay on the maintenance, stay on the oil changes.
And, every 3,000 miles.
Yeah. And if something horrible occurs, the car has been fantastic and it owes you nothing. But there's nothing special you need to do really at this point other than keep maintaining it.
You must be a very good driver with a stick. I've seen some very bad clutch work by a lot of people. So you must know what you're doing.
Well, I like to think so. My kids aren't so sure, but I'm pretty good.
Well, good luck, Robert.
Before you leave me. So just keep changing that oil?
Just keep maintaining the car. Stay right on top of it, and it'll keep going as long as it possibly can for you.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it a lot.
Thanks, Robert. 422,000 miles.
I mean, that's what you hear about over the road. You know, big trucks will do, a million miles, but for your normal car, that's a lot of mileage.
And in the Northeast, too, with all the salt and everything else.
Unreal.
That's incredible. Let's go to Jory in Albany. You're on.
Hi there. Similar question. I have a Honda Accord. It's about 180,000 miles. And my friend and I have this ongoing debate about when is it the right time to sell the used car and get a new one. And the discussion is that he says if it's over 150,000 miles and it's a repair of more than $1,000, it's time to junk the car because once something that big goes, inevitably something else will go. And I have a different approach, which says if a car costs about $20,000 and you can get about 8 years out of a car, that's maybe $2,500 per year. So I say, well, as long as you're spending less than $2,500 a year, you're better off to keep the car. And we go round and round. Obviously, there's no right answer to that. But do you have a and maybe you just answered it with the last caller, about when's the right time financially to sell a car?
Yeah. Well, if you analyze it money-wise, the cost of the car, the depreciation, the age, there's probably a cutoff point where an accountant might be able to tell you that. But you've reached the point with this car where the value of it isn't that high, but to you it's extremely valuable. So I wouldn't be trying to get rid of it unless things keep happening and it makes you tired of fixing it. And it's inevitable sooner or later something's going to fail, hopefully nothing big. And if that big thing occurs, then you're at a tipping point what to do with it. But at this stage of the car's life, I think I would, if you don't dislike the vehicle and you're perfectly happy with it, keep going. What I find the biggest thing that kills cars around here is they get rusty, particularly underneath, and then you're getting into the structure of the car, the subframes, fuel lines, brake lines, yep. and that gets ugly and it poses a safety issue. But if the car is not corroded, and you may, if you live, you know, downstate from here a little bit, they use less salt, you could be in good shape.
Well, he lives in Albany, so good luck.
Well, then you...
Yeah, I live in Albany.
Yeah, okay.
So if I have a $1,000 repair or a $2,000 repair or $3,000, do you have a sense about a cutoff there that says, yeah, once it's that much, forget it?
Well, let's say the engine, something fails, the engine's gone, or the transmission. That takes you into the, you know, $2,000-$3,000 event. That may be too much for the car at that point, unless you love it and it's still in great shape. But I think when it got into the thousands, I'd be thinking about it.
All right, Jory, thanks a lot for the call. We go over to Teresa in Stillwater. Teresa, you're on with Gordon Fricke.
Good afternoon,
Hi.
Gentlemen. My question relates to the backup screens that they have on a lot of vehicles. We bought a van maybe a year or so ago, and it was working fine, but not too long, it died. And my husband, being the capable man that he is, bought a replacement camera, thinking that perhaps the problem was in the camera mechanism in the back of the tailgate. Yeah. He replaced it, and it did nothing. So I'm just wondering if there's anywhere else we could look for a problem as to what would cause it to not work
yeah.
anymore.
Unfortunately, that's one of those things that is kind of out of the hands of the do-it-yourselfer. You can guess and replace things. And if it were the camera, you'd have been right on and you'd have been great, but it wasn't. Mm. So the other components that make up that system, you know, you'd have to guess at. What kind of vehicle is it?
Chrysler, and I think it's 2012.
Grand Caravan.
Grand Caravan.
Yeah.
It's a Dodge, right?
Yeah. Maybe it would be a good idea to get it to the dealer and just diagnose it and say, hey.
Pay the shot for the diagnostic.
Yeah, say, you know, we don't know if we want to fix this, but
right.
can you, if it's tangible, if you can really tell us, and sometimes you can't pinpoint diagnose something in one visit. You have to experiment and do some things and maybe change a part or two. But if you could get a diagnosis and they say, yeah, this is what's wrong, it's, you know, $210, then you decide, okay, we're going to fix it or we aren't. But then you know. That's what I
yeah.
would do. Because they are
no,
handy.
There are no over-the-market diagnostic things, because he does have some things that do pinpoint some problems for him.
Yeah.
But this might be a major expense just to buy the diagnostic tool then, or the
yeah.
a whole computer
yes.
thing.
Yes, you can buy code readers and scanners that aren't that expensive, but most of them don't go into anything other than the emissions things. They won't go into body controls like what you have there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get it checked out.
Good luck, Teresa.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call. And over to Parker and Troy. Parker, you're on.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Nice to have you here.
I have a 2002 Toyota Tacoma, four-wheel drive, and it's got 180,000 miles on it. And I just noticed within the last couple of weeks that when I start from a stop, there's a tiny shutter in the transmission. I haven't noticed it before, and I'm just wondering if that might be a tell that something is, getting out of whack.
Have you tried to see if it does it in reverse as well as forward?
I haven't.
Yeah, try that just to see if you get the same sensation backing up and accelerating as you are going forward. Because you could have something going on in the drive line, the drive shaft, a universal joint. If the drive shaft has a center support, which I don't think your truck does, but I don't know. In yours is an automatic, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I would be pointing anything at the transmission, because a lot of people will say, oh, I think my transmission's gone, because that's the worst. You know, that's bad. That's terrible
yeah.
news. And a lot of times it isn't.
Yeah.
It's other things. So I'd investigate driveline, things of that nature before you think that it could be a transmission
Now, when
problem.
He brings something like this into you, your shop, and you say, well, it's 14 years old, it's got 180,000 miles, what does that automatically tell you if he says it, there's a tiny shutter in the engine?
What I try to do is I try to filter out the predisposed notion in the customer's mind. In other words, sometimes people come in and they think they've got the problem diagnosed, or somebody told them theirs did it, so they're kind of ready with some terms. And I liken it to going to the doctor. And I say this to Laura all the time. We're not going to take the kidney out yet. We're going to diagnose it. We're going to see what's wrong first. It might just be a kidney stone. You know,
right.
So it's not always the worst thing. We need to get the symptoms and then step through the diagnostics and see where you go.
Well, how often are your customers right?
Sometimes they are, because they may have had a vehicle that did the same exact thing and they're getting the same symptoms. And they're doing that by experience. They're saying, well, my last car, when I stepped on the brake pedal shuddered like crazy, and I needed, my rotors were warped. So I think I need pads and rotors. And in that case, they're absolutely right, you know, most of the time.
So are there certain styles of driving that lend themselves to this issue more?
Of?
Rotors and brakes and, in other words,
yes.
Are there drivers, not bad drivers,
no,
but
no.
drivers who maybe drive
yes.
in a certain way?
Absolutely. You can give two identical cars to two different people.
Yeah.
They put the same amount of mileage on the car, bringing in, let's say, at 30,000 miles, and car A will have different problems or things worn than car B because of the driving style
yeah.
and where the people drive. Some people, if you go for a test drive, they're going from 0 to 70 and 70 to 0 in record time all the time, and they
yeah.
don't even know that that's not good.
Okay, that's my problem. In other words, my wife and I have a lot of we replace our brakes often. We must be a little too aggressive, I'm thinking.
Maybe it's the 0 to 70, 70 to 0 syndrome.
Okay. I think you might be onto something. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke is here, always talking everyone off the ledge. That's the best part. So, although sometimes the kidney does have to come out, we'll be back here on the program in a moment for the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from Schenectady County Historical Society in Schenectady's Historic Stockade District, presenting the Vote Here, Vote Now series, featuring exhibition, speakers, concert, presidential trivia night, and more, schenectadyhistorical.org. Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-huntsberger.artistwebsites.com. Colby Attorney Service, corporate formations, document retrieval services, court filings, and legal publishing for the legal and professional community. Since 1939, ColbyService.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts. Locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com. And Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, including Bevel, Lafon, and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon, and Maui Jim, Costa, and Ray-Ban sunglasses, SHEHYopticians.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke is our guest, and you want to give a shout-out, eh?
Yes, my youngest daughter, Hannah, is in Freiburg, Germany for the semester. She did a study abroad program.
Yeah.
And we visited her last week of September, first week of October, and she injured her knee.
Was ist das?
Das ist nicht gut.
Oh, boy. What happened?
Well, we got playing around a little bit, and she did a backflip on a trampoline, and her leg didn't do the right thing, and she tore some ligaments. So she is actually doing better with it than I am or was, because I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah, I bet.
So she's listening now via her computer. So
oh,
I just
nice.
Wanted to give her a shout-out.
Was it about 10 o'clock there?
6 hours ahead of us.
So 8:45
yeah,
or so. Oh, that's interesting.
Hello.
So, I mean, you're a mechanic, and so you, when a situation like that happens and there's no doctor, you're at a public park, you say, oh, it's probably the ball joint. Let me do something real quick here.
Right. We'll get some wire and some screws, and we'll temporarily put it back together.
So I'm sure your daughter was not hip to that idea.
No, she was in pain.
So she's listening now. Well, hello.
Hello, Hannah V. Gates.
Very nice to have you listening in via the internet at WAMC.org. All right, before we get back to the phones, here's another interesting email question. This was from Mitt. I have an order in for a Tesla 3.
Hmm.
What is the status of commercially available charging stations? I'm having second thoughts. Your thoughts? Thanks, Mitt.
Well, I'm not totally up on the Tesla, but I'm pretty sure that all Tesla owners get a charging adapter or station at their house. But I think he means if he's traveling, where does he keep the car plugged in? I would have an incredibly hard time believing that Tesla would not have all that information absolutely at a fingertips.
I bet you're right. Go to
you know,
the website.
If you're searching for Tesla, they're going to tell you where every charging station in the country lies. And there's a handful of these cars around. Even out in the sticks where I live, there's a couple of them. So it's attainable. You can
do
it.
A neighbor of mine, her son is a Tesla. I think works for a dealer down, I don't know where it is, but saw one. Fabulous car.
Yeah, pretty cool,
wow,
aren't they?
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to.
I've ridden in one.
How do they drive?
Incredibly powerful, because an electric motor does not have to gain RPM to develop the torque. It's instantly there. So it absolutely pins you in the seat.
Ah.
And we also went on autopilot with this car.
No way.
Hands off driving.
That I don't like so much.
Well, the owner was right on the wheel, because this program had just downloaded. This was months ago.
This is around here?
Yeah, yeah. And he said, watch this. He said, I'm going to take you for a ride in this car. And he didn't tell me what he was up to. He pushed some buttons, he let go of the wheel, and we went through the S-turns.
Okay, I don't like
that. And the whole deal.
No, forget it. No, that's too much progress. Let's go to Rick and Rensselaer. Rick, you're on.
I got a 2012 Cadillac SRX, and when we bought it, it had a little, when you're at a red light, you feel a little pulsation to the dealer. They couldn't find anything wrong with it, and I said, you know, I'll just deal with it. It got a little worse. I brought it to the Cadillac dealer. They replaced a coil pack and a spark plug on cylinder 4, and I still, it was better. Brought it back again, and they ended up replacing a crankshaft or exhaust solenoid. And it's better, but it's still doing it, and they can't find anything. And I never had an engine light. So any suggestions?
Did this start doing it from new?
I bought it used.
Okay.
So I could not. When we test drove the car, I drove her home that night to test drive it. It wasn't doing it. It just happened to do it like 2 weeks after I made the final purchase.
How many miles are on the car, roughly?
About 28,000. And I got it with about 20,000 on it.
Okay. We've talked about this a lot on this show, and we run into a tremendous amount of fuel deposit issues on cars today.
Oh.
And they will create very subtle driving problems, idling problems, stumble, misfires that never turn on the check engine light. You can feel them, but the computer can't sense them, and they're almost murder to diagnose. I would, because you need to do this to rule it out, I would get a carbon cleanup, which, and there's a couple ways you can do this. You can buy a big bottle of Tecron, pour it in your gas tank, read the instructions on the bottle, drive it empty, and maybe give it another one after that. See what you get for improvement. And there's also some other cleanup.
Yeah, I did that twice.
What did you use for? Did you use Tecron?
Yep.
Yeah, and
I even ran the high test.
Yep.
You know, they made a difference to the high test. This car does take the regular gas. It's a flex fuel, but I did the high test as well. And I mentioned it to the dealer because it's a direct inject engine, and they said I said, will they clean it out? Well, we're not getting that code. We normally get a code for that.
You won't
this
initially.
This is a reputable Cadillac dealer. I won't mention any names.
Good.
No.
They're very good. And this is
under, if it's all been covered under 100,000, or the 5-year drivetrain warranty. So I have like until November to bring it in one more time.
Yeah. I think what I would do is just sit tight, see if it gets worse or better. There's also a carbon cleanup that can occur at the intake end of it, because the direct injected engines have different carbon issues than the non-direct injected engines. So they need an additional cleanup of the intake. Just mention that to the dealer. Just say, hey, what do you think about a carbon cleanup, not just through the gasoline, but through the intake? Just see what they say.
Well, if you're running out of warranty, you want to document all this anyway, right? That you're having the problem well before the warranty runs out?
Yeah, and he's had it to the dealer, so they've got it on record there.
Yeah. Well, Rick, good luck with that. Thank you very much. And over to Robert in Smith's Landing. Robert, you're on.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Gordon.
Robert, is that you?
It's me. 64 Riviera.
You know,
familiar?
Yes, and I'm sorry I didn't call you back. The minute I heard your voice, I said, he called about a 64 Riviera.
Oh, nice.
My kind of car.
I wonder why I called you with a 64 Riviera.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I did this is a relatively recent acquisition. I've been, doing my stuff, converted it to a dual master, and the big vacuum line goes into the manifold. But I got a couple of small vacuum lines coming out of the firewall, and I can't quite figure where they're going to. There's a canister on the fender well, that goes into, that's connected. But there's a couple of other things with vacuum. On a car like that, what would be vacuum operated?
Believe it or not, the heater controls on that car have vacuum going into the dashboard.
Wow.
Do you say you've got some small lines that enter the firewall?
Yes, and
yeah.
They're open.
Yeah, they're
yeah, the heat works.
Yes. You know what? The heat works on my 65, and the vacuum is dead in the dash, and I use the car only in warm weather. So if I need heat, it comes on, and I'm fine. But that definitely goes in, and there are some servos in there that do use vacuum. Is yours an air conditioning car?
Nope.
No. But yeah, mine
doesn't. This is actually a semi-custom. It's got, duals with the Flowmasters outside pipes. It's got a little bit of performance work to it.
Nice.
My kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
But I did notice when I went to the Dual Master, I lost a lot of feel. Like I lost the vacuum on the booster, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I left my brakes original, so it's the old single line. But
which felt better?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's rock solid, and it's a great pedal, but you're fearful that if you lose a line, you're finished,
Yes.
So you did the right thing going to duals, safety-wise.
Yeah, I do it to all my cars.
Yeah, yep.
All right, Robert.
But I lose pedal feel when I do that, usually.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a wonderful car. I sort of like it. I mean, I had hell trying to find the fuse box on it, but I did.
Well, good for
it
you.
Came with a little shop, not a little owner's manual, but no shop manual.
Yeah, that fuse box is hidden. Left lower dash, there's a plastic panel. And you have to kind of pull it down out of the way, if I remember correctly. Kind of hangs out so you can get to the fuses.
Well, maybe we can get you and Robert to do a little race, the 65 against the 64.
Bring it in.
Yeah, and we'll take some wagering. It'll be very illegal. Chris in Springfield. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, I have a 2003 Ford F-150 that is in excellent condition. It's only got 90,000 miles on it. I've maintained it as I've gone along, but the mileage is getting to a point where it's oppressive. I'm down to about 12 miles of the gallon. And so, since then, new plugs, new tires, alignment, a couple other things, and it brought me up to about 13 miles of the gallon. Somebody just told me that I should look at replacing the oxygen sensors. And before I do that, I'm just wondering if that would actually have a useful impact on my mileage.
Okay.
It's very interesting because in the early days of the oxygen sensor, they had a timed replacement. In the early days, I think they were every 30,000 miles, and they went to 60, and then they said, you know what, these things don't seem to need to be replaced like that, and replace them when they fail. But they can get lazy, and they can cause you to run a little bit too rich or a little bit too lean. What you can try first, if you like, is a product that goes in the gas tank, and it's not Tecron. This is a catalytic converter and sensor cleaner, and it goes in the gas and it cleans the sensors from contamination and buildup, and it also cleans the catalytic converters, and it cleans the fuel injectors and the fuel system. Cataclean.
So, never heard of this stuff.
Yeah.
Worth it?
Yeah, definitely. Try it. It absolutely doesn't hurt a thing. If it doesn't resolve or fix your problem, you still got benefits of cleaning up your fuel system. I have used it, and it has done remarkable work on some vehicles and done nothing for others.
Huh.
So I would do that first. But, yeah, the oxygen sensors can get lazy, but they're kind of expensive to replace, and you may not get a great result from doing that.
All right, so Cataclean it is.
I would try that first.
All right, good luck with that, Chris. We appreciate the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Michael in Cambridge. Michael.
Yes, sir.
You're on.
A 2008 Ford Edge with just a front-wheel drive, and there seems to be a little bit of a lag when you put it into gear, and you're driving through a parking lot, you step on the gas, let off the gas. It seems like there's a little bit of a slippage or something. It doesn't really slip, but it's a 6-speed transmission, and it's just perfectly fine. The only thing I can think of to describe it is like if you put your car on a hill and you have your foot on the brake, you put it in park and let your foot off the brake, then it rolls back that little bit of play. Well, it actually does that when I'm stepping on the gas and letting off the gas, and I wonder if it's something I should worry about.
All cars today are throttled by wire, so the speed that you press the accelerator pedal is not really the speed that the throttle opens. The computer makes that decision. It could be that the throttle plate is getting a little bit behind. There's a little delay there from the time you step down on the gas. How many miles are on the vehicle?
About 70. Seems like it's more transmission because there's like that. It's definitely like clunks, and then if you let off the gas, it's like freewheeling, and you step on the gas again, it'll like clunk again.
Okay, so you feel as though it may not be fully engaged at that point.
Yeah, you know, if the car's in park and you grab the front wheel and try to wiggle it back and forth, you've got a little bit of play there.
Yeah.
It seems more excessive, and I didn't know what that is or what I never needed to worry about it.
I think at this point I would see if it changes much. It just could be a condition of what those cars do at that age and mileage. If it becomes a problem, it'll surface, unfortunately, and you'll be faced with it. But I haven't encountered that to be able to tell you, there's something that gets loose or worn in the transmission. So I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate the call. And let's go to Kyle in Colony. Kyle, you're on.
Hi. I have a 2004 Acura TSX. It's got about 113,000 miles on it. And about 3 years ago, I had it in for just regular oil change, and they mentioned that I had a cracked steering column. So I've been keeping an eye on it, keeping the power steering fluid topped off. It's been starting to leak more and more. And then last year when I had it in for its inspection, the guy said, you know, I can pass it this year, but it's probably going to be closed next year, and it's going to be up next month. So I have two questions. First off, is that a reason that I would fail my inspection? And then secondly, if I'm going to bite the bullet and do this, I've looked online at a few, you know, for replacement rack and pinions, and it's a lot cheaper than what the dealer quoted me. I've also read some forums, and it seems like it's probably a little bit more than I want to do myself, but at least buying the part online and bringing it to a garage. Would you recommend that?
I wouldn't, because number one, what you're pricing out is a remanufactured unit, which is okay. That's standard in the industry. Acura might be pricing you a new unit or remanufactured through their sources. What I would do is, if you have a shop that you like or where you go to, price it out, and if they use the part that they're comfortable with, they're going to have a much easier time backing it up if something goes wrong warranty-wise, where if you supply the part and they install it, and it fails two weeks later, they're going to say, well, geez, we're awfully sorry. You provided us with this part. We don't know where it came from. We don't deal with this company. Call them for help. And then you're going to be involved in the internet shuffle of getting another part, and some of these companies make you buy another one, send them the old one back. They confirm that it's faulty. Sometimes they say, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'd be really careful getting wound up in that.
Well, that's interesting. And a lot of times you go to an independent shop and they'll be able to get you a reconditioned
Absolutely.
Part.
Yeah. And in our case, you know, I only buy from a handful of suppliers who back me up. If something goes wrong, we're covered, you know?
All right. This one quickly via email here before we close up here. This one is from Thomas. I am on my sixth Toyota truck and I've always requested a transmission flush when I brought it in for maintenance. Last time I brought it in for a maintenance and I asked to flush the transmission, the tech said, we no longer do. The transmission fluid is now lifetime. What's the story with that?
Yeah, I just had a guy come in the other day, same question. He said, I want to do everything I need to do to keep this truck alive, and I want to do the transmission.
Yeah.
I looked it up. He had a 13 Tacoma, and under the severe duty schedule, it did say to change the transmission fluid at 50,000 miles. So look in the book under severe duty and do it if they say to do it.
Gordon, Fricky, I tell you, we could have done a three-hour show today.
Oh,
I haven't seen lines this loaded in quite some time. Thanks for being here, my friend, and
You're
get
welcome.
Some sleep now. Huh?
I'm good still.
All right, good luck with the daughter. Don't tear any more ligaments.
I know.
Support comes from Capital Roots, working to help people in the Capital Region access healthy, affordable, and local food. Grow, educate, provide. CapitalRoots.org for information on how to support. Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency using food scraps and yard waste to create nutrient-rich compost to help conserve water and control weeds. Compost available for purchase. UCRRA.org. Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant at Raw Bar, RealSeafoodCO.com. And Dr. Lucy Chapek, Plastic Surgery, Latham, New York, since 1996, announcing Fall Open House October 20th, 5:30 to 7:30, a surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, 518-786-1700 for registration. Well, that's it. Thanks again to Gordon Fricker for being here. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Deb Malik took your calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's a delicious Food Friday. We welcome back Vox Pop Food Friday Hall of Famer Deanna Fox. Stand by now for news.